Musings of the Mick, talking about board games and related stuff. Howdy, y'all. We have arrived at a new episode. Granted, a little later than the norm. But just because it is later than that norm doesn't mean we're going to be breaking from the norm, which is the routine. We are going to be covering a topic, but it has changed from what I originally had planned. I believe I mentioned we were going to be talking about more companies that we trust and adore, but we're not. Because when I was getting the crowdfunding section ready, I realized there was a bunch of cool ones going on again. So instead, we are going to be doing that supersized extravaganza of crowdfunding segment for our topic. But of course, we will still do our game reviews. In fact, let's get to those, shall we? All right, so here we are with those game reviews. These are both going to be F games, which is kind of fitting. I'll tell you why when I get to the second game. And that first game we are going to talk about is Far Away from Pandasaurus Games. In this game, you're going to have a hand of cards, and each person's going to put a card face down and then simultaneously reveal them. If that card is higher than a card you've previously played, which obviously is not going to happen in the first round, but if it is higher, then you are going to find a sanctuary. You are going to draw cards from a face-down sanctuary deck equal to the card, plus any clues, which are these little scrolls that are placed on the card. After you do that, in turn order, which the turn is going to be set by whoever has played the lowest exploration card, they are going to play down one of their sanctuary cards, and then they're going to choose one of the face-up cards from the middle to take into their hand. You are going to do this over 8 rounds, and that is the end of the game. You then, however, are going to score the cards from the last card you placed to the first based on what is showing when the card is resolved. So if the last card scores for a certain symbol, all the cards played prior to that are not going to score. So they suggest you flip over your cards and then flip over the one you're scoring so you can look back. Cool thing, though, is that those sanctuary cards that you've played down will count for the entire journey. So if you have those symbols on those cards, they will help trigger or score for that card at the end before all the other cards are revealed. This is definitely one of those games that makes more sense as you watch it and as you play it, because you can see the way that the thing is flowing. This game definitely challenges the way you have to think and play cards, because you're kind of trying to plan ahead, but you don't necessarily know exactly what you are going to have when you get ahead. So you want to put your good scoring cards at the end, but those might be higher numbers, so you're not getting those journey sanctuary cards, which are very helpful in scoring points or having the symbols to score the cards that you're going to be scoring first. So there is that interesting dynamic of that going on. As I said, those extra cards are vital, as they have those symbols to help trigger that scoring, so you can try and score for every card and not have any wasted ones. I will say Bri wanted to play it again right away. She was able to grasp it and then wanted to try it again, because as I said, it's one of those ones that once you play, you're like, oh, okay, I get it now. So then when she wanted to, now she knew exactly how it played. Bam, let's play it again. So that means it does play quick, because we were able to knock out two games fairly quickly in two players. I found it to be quite interesting and thinky for a game that has you playing only 8 cards. Typically, that's like, all right, well, that's not going to be that bad. It's only 8 cards. But each card is so vital, it takes more concentration and thinking and planning than you would initially think. It does take up quite a bit of space, because you play the 8 cards next to each other. Otherwise, it is a small game. I mean, technically, you can make 2 rows, as you need to know which cards follow which ones so you score them properly. But overall, we both really liked it. Bri did pick it up and get it quicker than I thought she would. She's not always good at the games where you have to like do one thing and then score the other way, and kind of has that weird scoring. Those usually kind of bog her down, but she did pretty good with this one. The next game we're going to talk about is why I said it's funny that they both begin with F, and that is Fast Sloss, coming to us from Stronghold Games, but also 2F Spiel, because it is a Friedman Freese game, and that's his company. In this game, you are going to be grabbing cards from the different animals that you've chosen to place in this particular game. From, I believe there's like 12 or 14. There's a bunch of animals you can choose from. You're going to grab cards based on how many leaves you've gotten, because the amount of cards you get will go down the more leaves you get. Almost kind of like a catch-up mechanism, I believe. But you have to grab them from different animals. Once you grab the cards, you may now optionally choose to move those animals. Using the cards, you can only move one animal per turn, but you can play as many cards of that animal as you like. You will then move those around. If they pass your sloth can hitch a ride on them, and they can take you and hopefully drop you off near leaves or near another animal that you'll be able to use in a future turn. Each animal does have a special power and can only move on certain terrain. Like the eagle, you have to play at least 6 strength of movement for them. Then they will fly from anywhere, grab you, and then move you 6 spaces, up to 6 spaces anywhere. The elephant can move on only certain terrain, but then once it's done, it can throw you and move you along their line. There's a whole bunch of them that you'd have to look in the rule book to do them all. I'm not going to go over them all here. This is a pretty interesting and fun game with some cool decisions. As I said, you're trying to collect leaves. It's whoever gets 8 leaves first. So trying to manage where the animals end up and where your sloth ends up. So you're near another animal. So just kind of that playing ahead. And also making sure that you manage the movement of where they can go. And in what order are you going to get the leaves? Are you going to try and go to the far corner and go around? Are you going to go middle, out, over, and around? That type of thing. Also, the theme is awesome because I really like sloths. So there aren't many sloth games out there. We were lucky to find this one in the consignment section of Red Raccoon Games down in Bourbon A, because this is hard to get at the present moment. So Fast Sloths is one that I'm definitely glad we found and picked up. After a brief commercial break, we are going to get into that supersized crowdfunding segment. So see you after the break. Hey, you. Did you know we have a YouTube channel with hundreds of videos, including this here podcast? Well, it is indeed true. You should head over after listening to this podcast and see what we all have to offer. And what else is cool is we have the videos broken down in playlists for you so you can see exactly what you want to see. If you want to see all of our unboxings and how they've evolved over time, you can do just that by going to our What's in the Box playlist. Or maybe you want to see me take on games all by my lonesome, solo, mano y mio. Well, we have that as well. Those have also evolved over time, which you will see as you watch them. There's reviews, mobile plays, campaign plays, and even more. So head on over, watch what you like. But most importantly, while you're there, please make sure to subscribe to the channel and hit the bell so you can be notified whenever we drop a video or even when a new episode of this podcast hits. All right, let's get kicking it with this supersized crowdfunding extravaganza. Although I'm going to say basically Kickstarter extravaganza, because all of these are on Kickstarter. There is nothing as of today on GameFound that we are interested in. So we're going to kick things off with probably one of the biggest ones on the list. I'm going to go with, and that is Kinfire Council, coming to us from Incredible Dreams Studio. This is done in the same world as all the other Kinfire games. In fact, this is in the city of Dinlux, which you venture to in the first Kinfire game that they released. This is a worker placement game where you're going to be having locations where you're building the lighthouse, managing the city, upgrading locations, doing all that cool stuff. You're also going to be able to upgrade your workers and vote on rule changes to take place in the game. The city displays this really cool tiered, I believe it's 3 levels, but that also is going to be the component storage, so it's going to be really nice. You can just take that out, take off the top part, get all the components out, and bam, you have your game board as well. And then, as is per the use for Incredible Dream Studios, the deluxe components look fantastic, and just production and art overall is stunning. There is an expansion that they have that is going to be able to make the game co-op or solo, so if you're looking for more of that as opposed to the competitive, they have you covered. In addition to all of that, even, you can add in any of the Kinfire games, the Delve series, that first one, Kinfire Nightsfall. There's just a lot of cool world building in all of those games. Next up, we have a game that we've covered quite a bit on the channel, and that is Keystone North America from Rose Gauntlet Games. This is a twofer type of campaign. They are coming out with a second edition and an expansion. The second edition is actually going to be a smaller box. It's only going to be 1 to 2 players. They have new art, kind of updated some of the graphic design and all of that. I will say the solo version of this is a really cool story mode where you're going through this assignment journal as this budding scientist, and each one gives you some background and some education into what you're doing and some really cool knowledge. And then it's a different setup on the board or different goals that you're trying to do. If you're interested in that, I played through the entire campaign journal on our channel. You can find that in the playlist that says Keystone North American Assignment Journal, I believe. You can find it. It's on our channel. It's not hard. They do have levels for returning backers, which would be basically us, where we can make the expansion for player compatible. So basically, it's a little kit. You get the expansion, you get a playmat, and you get the thing to make it where you can play it as four players. They also have these really cute plushies available, a manatee and a puffin, and the dimensions of them make them look, I'm pretty sure, pretty large and awesome. So we may be looking at getting some of those, especially for the youth. So we went from a couple of bigger ones to a small one. This is Scrap Bots. We did a preview video for this one. This is a two-player deck builder. We're going one-on-one in a versus combat. You're going to be putting Scrap Bots out in front of you in these lanes to try and damage your opponent, whereas they have their Scrap Bots too, so you're going to be fighting their Scrap Bots. Once you do damage to your opponent, though, they get malfunction cards. There's a deck of 21 when that runs out. Whoever has the most malfunctions wins. Or the least ones, sorry. Whoever has the least malfunctions wins. All the cards do have multiple usage. You can put them out as a Scrap Bot. You can use them to give yourself energy to where you can attack with the Scrap Bots or trigger abilities, or you end up discarding them, which gives you resources to buy more Scrap Bots or upgrades for your bots as well. There's many different strategies you can use to try and win this one, and they have different colors, and each of those colors kind of focuses on something. Like red is adding more malfunctions even if you don't do damage to them, or there's some that let you heal the Scrap Bots, or some that let you kind of maneuver stuff around or just direct damage and kill stuff. So there's all those different strategies. And then if you do put an upgrade of a color onto a Scrap Bot of that color, you also trigger this little chain thing. So you kind of do have that engine building in addition to the deck building. As for the deck building, I will say this is a slower deck builder than you may be used to, because you're putting out those Scrap Bots and upgrades on the board in front of you, and they're staying out there until destroyed. So you're not going to necessarily have as many resources every turn filtering through until you get your deck really built up to where you're using them more for other stuff as opposed to out there for attack or defense. And you really have to focus more on the synergy, not just buying like the highest value card or anything like that. You want to maybe get those colors synced up so you can make full use of putting the upgrades on them and then triggering even more abilities. Up next, we have another game that we did a preview of as well, and that is Micro Midgard from Prometheus Game Labs. This is a Rondell worker movement game. You have four different workers out on the board, and you can only move ones that haven't been moved previously by someone that has their little token on it, and you're going to be moving them around a rondel one space, either right or left, and then you're going to be taking actions on various boards based on where that person lands, on either a craft board or a sun or moon board, and you also may be moving the wolves around the outside. You're going to be collecting mead and gold as well, and you're going to use those to trigger the abilities on those various boards. Or you may be keeping those and moving on those tracks to score when Ragnarok happens. Ragnarok happens when one of those wolves moves past its level, or a sun wolf and a moon wolf. So if the sun wolf goes into the moon territory, it triggers Ragnarok. Same thing with the moon wolf. When Ragnarok happens, you're going to see what the scoring condition was. Whoever has the most of that's going to score the certain number of points. And then one of the realms is going to suffer Ragnarok. You're going to flip it over and its ability is going to be diminished. You're going to be playing until someone gets to 9 points, or once the last Ragnarok is triggered, whoever has the highest total points. Part of the campaign is they do have a regular edition, which is a small micro, obviously because it's Micro Midgard, or they have this fancy Ragnarok version with double player boards and big meeples that is not so micro. Next, we have House of Fado, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right, from Eagle Griffin Games. This is the second in their line of a more approachable version of Vitel Lacerda games, and this one is a version of his game, The Gallerist. This is a worker placement where you're trying to improve your restaurant and get musicians to put into the Fado competitions and various things on the middle board. You're going to have three workers, you're going to put them out, and then once they're out, you're going to take them from where they were and put them in the new locations. If there's a player already where you want to go, you can bump them. They go to a kickout space, which gives them a benefit of their choosing if there's more than one space available. You're going to be doing all these actions basically to upgrade, as I said, your restaurant, get the musicians, and all of that. They have recently released alternative two-player rules, so they have the two-player rules already in the rulebook, and they came out with ones that have more kickout opportunities that give you more components, have these little assistants that take the place of your worker so that they, if they get kicked out, then they can go to one of those kickout spaces and kind of just help with the flow and the craziness of the game. Up next, we have a game where it's an expansion, and we haven't played the original, although I know the original got a lot of buzz. Haha, it's a joke, and you'll see why here in a second. But it's one that we do want to look into getting, so we're probably going to just back everything here so we can get the base game as well. And that is Long Live Backyardia from Engrow Games. This is an expansion for the game Bug Council of Backyardia. So Bug Council is a must-follow trick-taker game. However, the trump suit is determined by this council board in the middle that has these cubes on them. So in a must-follow, if someone plays, say, the ant card, if you have an ant card, you need to follow. However, if you don't have an ant card, you can play whatever card you want. Then, after we go around, we see did someone play one that's actually like a trump card or the most favored card. And that's going to be determined by whichever council has the most cubes in it. The trick with this one, though, is whoever played the lowest after everything happens is going to distribute the strength cubes in a Mancala fashion. So they're going to choose one of the councils, pick up the cubes, and then plop, 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 plop them down as they go around. So that council strength one is always going to be changing, so it's going to be an ever-evolving trump suit. At the end of each round, you're going to score points for each trick and a leftover card. For you're going to have 11 cards, you're going to be playing over 10 tricks. You can, however, declare no allegiance at the beginning of a round, and then in that instance, you're trying to get no tricks to score buku points. That is what the base game is. This expansion adds four modules that change up gameplay, and each module will tell you which two things amongst a variety of characteristics does it change, like maybe control, or the way cards are played, or the way certain things get maneuvered around, or maybe a luck element. The two-player rules for this don't seem overly complicated. There's basically a dummy player, and what happens is whoever leads will choose which card from the dummy player wants to get put out. If the dummy player ends up winning the trick, then the other person is then going to lead the trick as the dummy player, so it seems pretty quick and easy. All right, we are two-thirds of the way. Our final three starts out with a small game, and it's yet another game we did a preview for, and this is One Card Maze. In this one, you can get either a print and play or physical versions of the game. What these are fun cards that you keep on hand to kill time while you're in a car or just standing around or just sitting around doing nothing. Each card is this maze that requires you to flip, rotate, maneuver the card in some way to try and find the end. Like you're going to start in one way, you're going to go, and you can only go through doors if the arrow is pointing up, so you might need to find something that lets you rotate the card however you want. Then when you get to the edge, you're going to flip the card over and start from that arrow. And then you're just going around trying to get from start to end, as mazes want you to do. In this campaign, they are also now adding boss cards where you need to enter the arena where the boss is from different sides each time, however, in a certain pattern, obviously where the arrow is pointing up, and you have to do it from left to right. There are many cards in a variety of difficulties in here. I think it's going to be like something like 40, 50, I don't know, because they had a season one, and now they have a season two, and then the boss modes. So you're going to have a variety of cards that you can get if you go and check out that campaign. They also have a website where you can learn and try out some of those mazes to see how it plays and if it would be something that interests you in a more physical form. The link is in our preview video on our channel, and I'll see if I can actually put it in the description of the podcast down below. Penultimately, we have Canvas Big Box from Road to Infamy Games. This is a large box to hold all the content for Canvas in an organizationalized manner. If you're not sure what Canvas is, it's a game where you'll be grabbing these clear, transparent cards, building these works of art as if you were a painter and this was your canvas, and then scoring points based on how the cards are laid out. But this is, as I said, a large box. This is going to have 11 drawers that function as token trays. So you have your tokens in there. You can just take the drawers out, pop them on the table, and they're ready to go. And there's a large deck box to hold all of the massive amount of art cards they have now that, again, you can just take out of the box, throw on the table. So this does make setup quite easy, and storage as well, because once you're done, just put all the stuff back in, boop, 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 done. It will also contain a master rulebook, because there is the base game and two expansions, so it's going to have a rulebook that covers all of that. In addition, it will have a trilogy booster pack with new cards not previously available. So even though it is called a big box, the size is more like a medium box, measuring 10 by 12 by 4 inches, and they say it is about the same volume as a Ticket to Ride box. They also have a bunch of add-ons of the previous items, like the games, the expansions, the bonus content, the upgraded bits. They had little easels that you could put your artwork on. All of that is available. And finally, we have Ultimate Periodic Dice. This is the last one we were talking about that we have covered in video form. It will also be the last one we talked about because that did just launch this very day. It's coming to us from Rampage Games. This game has dice that have a number in the corner and the element from the periodic table large on the die with the name, the little two letters or one letter, or basically the abbreviation, the atomic weight, all of the cool information there. There is a black or white option that has the basic dice 1 through 6. They have a glow-in-the-dark option for all the radioactive elements, and those look really cool. Or you can get this massive 20-die set that features all 118 elements and 2 time symbols, seeing as there's 120 faces. They had to do something with those extra 2. And those 20 dice are color-coded by category on the periodic table. So again, that is all the Kickstarters that are currently going on. I will just take this time to mention that next week on the 21st, How to Save a World from Burnt Island Games is coming to Kickstarter, and that is one you're definitely going to want to keep your eyes out for. I've kind of been walked through a tutorial, and that game looks fantastic. You'll be moving these little scientists around, playing out cards, triggering things, all trying to save this planet before this massive asteroid smashes into it. Alrighty, but let's just wrap this up with what's coming up on this here channel. So what's coming up on the channel? Well, before that, I just want to give a little update here at the end of the episode. For this summer, we are going to be kind of winding down the amount of content that we are going to be doing. So you'll see about the normal stuff to finish out May, but then it will slow down a bit as we take care of some personal stuff and kind of analyze how the channel runs and what we want to do within the future, maybe make some tweaks. This also means this podcast may not come out every 2 weeks on Monday as it has been, you know, up until this episode anyways. So make sure you subscribe to it on your service of choice so you'll be alerted when we drop another episode. But to finish out May, we do have some reviews coming up, some campaign plays, some mobile plays. We're going to be starting to cover a small thing of escape room games called Holiday Hijinks from Grand Gamers Guild. They have a ton of them for all the different holidays, and we're going to be starting to review those this month. But the time for ramblings will end with the outro info as follows. Feel free to drop by that YouTube channel, as I asked you to earlier, or any of our socials, and let us know what you like or don't like, but please make sure to do it in a nice manner. Those socials are Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Merry Married Meeples. On Twitter X, we are at Merry Married. Also, be sure to head over and check out our Patreon. Link is in the description. And hopefully, in 2 weeks, I will grace your airwaves again with that list of even more companies we trust and like. So until then, enjoy your days.